Hello, and welcome to another amazing episode of Android's Amazing Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, James Santana. Every week, I have with me two of my best hosts. One, Hunter Van Lira.
What's up? How's the intro going?
I know, I kind of pushed that a little bit. And welcome back, Danny.
Did you guys miss me?
Yeah, no? We missed you.
Yeah, okay.
Nah, we missed you. We did miss you. It was really weird. It was really weird not having you. And we are brought to you by Android's Amazing Comics in Sayville, New York. And I guess we're going to jump right into the news, because we got a whole bunch of stuff to cover this week.
Kind of. Mostly yeah. DC stuff.
It's a lot of opposite from last week.
It's a lot of DC, because last week we had like, no news, but luckily right. We were able to talk 30 minutes about X-Men with Justin.
It wasn't even just like no news, it was like cancellations. Now we got new announcements this week.
Yay.
It was one to the other. Canceled.
I'm glad you came back for the announcement episode, Dan.
Yeah, thank God.
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, you have no idea. Last week was rough. I started a new position at my other job.
Your adult job.
My adult job. And it just really, really took a lot out of me. But things are great now.
I'm glad. That's awesome. We are glad that you are back and that you feel better.
Thank you.
So let's just jump into some news. Sorry, I had taquitos and my face is on fire.
James had taquitos.
I like some taquitos. Anyway, so DC is launching a plethora of new books starting September with, I'm just going down the list, it's a bunch. So, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy spinning out of Heroes in Crisis. That's going to be Harley and Poison Ivy just navigating the DC universe now. They're post Heroes in Crisis status.
Because Ivy's all different.
Yeah, because Ivy's she's not even just part of the Green. She's like a Swamp Thing
she
type
like
of thing.
She's the Green. Yeah.
Yeah. Harleen by it's just called Harleen.
It's another Black Label book.
Yeah, by Sedgwick, which is another Black Label book. I have disdain. I'll get to it later. Flash Forward by Scott Lodell, which is another spin-out from Heroes in Crisis, which will explore Wally's life. And if you look closely at the promo poster, picture they've sent out on any site, you'll see Singularity Singularity from Sideways.
Yeah, the big god of time.
Time, yes. Another book spinning out from Event Leviathan is Gotham City Monsters, written by Steve Orlando. With a crazy weird cast of monsters that we know, and some we haven't seen in a while. One being Andrew Bennett, the Eye Vampire. Also, this they announced was Inferior 5 from Jeff Lemire. It's kind of a continuation also.
From Electric Warriors, I think.
Yeah, from Electric Warriors. It's kind of...
One or two of the characters are in Electric Warriors, or in that book from Electric Warriors.
Yeah, they're like they're going to be like descendants or whatever.
Yeah.
That's, again, rumor speculation. And DC also announced their Dollar Comic format is returning, which is just like how Marvel did True Believers, and now it's called Marvel's Greatest Creators. Mm-hmm. It's a way to get your hands on some classic stories, not spending an arm and leg for them. It's going to be dollar stuff. The first couple of ones are like the first part of Hush, the first part of Batwoman's story, yeah. And Detective, Crush on Infinite Earths. And then I waited for this to last because I can't wait. I skipped it on purpose. I am super psyched. Super, super hyped. Bendis is doing Legion of Superheroes, starting off with a miniseries called Millennium Legion of Superheroes, which takes you through the entire future history of this universe, making it one cohesive line all the way to the Legion of Superheroes. So they're talking about adding Commandy, OMAC, Booster Gold, which is actually he always does his.
He had a Legion ring. So
well, his origin ties to Legion. Yeah, his Legion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ties to Legion of Superheroes.
What's cool is that's actually spinning out of Superman.
Kind of, and Doomsday Clock.
Yeah.
He did say, Bennis did say, I don't know if it was his AMA or Twitter, where he was like, yeah, I'm definitely spinning out of Doomsday Clock. I'm glad that Jeff Johns did his thing and everything. Oh, I should announce Snyder's doing a Justice Society book from...
But that's just, he's doing an arc in Justice League.
It's one issue. It's only one issue, not even an arc. It's only one issue
a Justice
part.
Society book is supposed to be coming.
Yeah, he's got more plans.
Thank God.
It's supposed to be coming.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I don't want Snyder writing it. I want him, because I don't want him to do what he's doing with Justice League and doing that with Society. Society's the older time book.
I hope Tinian takes over. So that Tinian is off Justice League and then he takes over.
Yeah, that's what I think after the Justice League Doom. So those are all the books so far that we know have been released.
Oh. Joey Hauser is doing a Harley Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was, yes.
I just wanted to give her
yes, minute. Thank you. Joey Hauser is doing Harley Poison Ivy. A little backstory on some of them. We already just kind of covered. They're all spin-outs from some of the events, so I definitely recommend if you are looking forward to any of the books we just announced from DC. I definitely say check out the events they're spinning out of. Otherwise, you might be a little bit confused. Especially Holly and Poison Ivy, and especially Fast Forward, where you go, hey, excuse me, Wally's not in Flash. And now it's his own series in the time, the Flash, you know, sphere thing.
Stuck in time, yeah.
Like the Bleed, I guess. I don't know. That's the best way to do it.
Do you want to complain about Black Label real quick?
Yes, can I? Yes!
All right, you can, but only for 2 minutes.
Cool! Find me now! All right, so my biggest thing about Cedric doing Harleen, I think it's a cool concept. My problem with it is one out of the plethora of Black Label books we've announced, 5 of them are Batman books. And 2 of them are specifically Harley Quinn and Joker retelling of their origin stories.
Yeah, which is...
I don't think that's necessary.
No, it's not. They could have done so much more. I feel like with this Black Label going on, like, give me a Green Lantern already.
That'd be awesome.
A Lantern. Like, a Flash.
Give me a Lantern.
An Aquaman. You know, a little
Martian
bit more
Manhunter
mature.
Would be pretty cool. Martian
Manhunter in a dark story.
But he's doing
phenomenal.
A pretty dark story right now with the Orlando book.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it would be better in a Black Label. If you crank that up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
You can do a little bit more mature stuff. You can play around with some stuff. Because even if you set it where... Even if you said it where you had him reappear in the Silver Age, like he did in his original origin, and be like, hey, you know, mix the fact that now he's taking the appearance of a black man and set it in, like, the 1950s, 60s, where he's a black guy and he's a detective, or trying to be a detective, and then, you know, doing that while also being a Martian, so you could see, like...
You could fight the KKK.
Right, you can do other things, not just a, he's a Martian detective, you can do, like, a race story, which would be kind of cool to play with, because... Right. His current form is a black guy. Not always. That was not always a thing.
I think Constantine would benefit from a Black Label book.
Right.
I think he shows up in Damned.
He does. Damned. He's in Batman's subconscious.
I think he would benefit from his own book. Yeah. And then, honestly, I think Booster Gold would benefit from a Black Label book. But only if it's Booster and Blue Beetle. Because they could do, like, a kind of death scenario.
Yeah.
Where, like, one of them's caught in a death loop and they're trying to figure it out. And then get really gruesome deaths for all the characters who are dying. And that would be really cool. But it would be too similar to Heroes in Crisis, I think, with the deaths of recent characters.
Like, I'm really glad that they're doing, like the Superman one, which we're going to discuss later in the show.
Yes.
But, you know, there are so many characters. That, I mean, give the Question.
Yeah, anything. That'd be a dope story.
I think he's going to spin out of Event Leviathan at some point.
He is.
I think so.
But I just think, like...
Or at least put him on Detective.
Something.
Again, I just feel like my biggest thing with Black Label is that they're not using the potential of Black Label.
You know what would be really cool? If Detective Comics went back to not just Batman. If Detective Comics went to, like...
Yeah.
We get a Question arc. Then we get, like... A Constantine arc.
Showing
a Batman again.
Showing the detective. The detective of the DC universe. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
We're spinning and we're rambling. So I'm going to kick it off to Danny for some Marvel stuff. Go ahead, Danny.
So Marvel announced Jason Aaron is writing another Thor book.
Woo!
Yes, and it's going to be titled King Thor. Do you think I gave him his justice there?
I think so.
All right. It's Aaron's last Thor story, and they also announced Ultron Agenda.
Which is a Iron Man event.
It's a story arc.
It's a story arc.
It was cool. There's a thing to announce was the storyline. But back to that King Thor thing.
King Thor.
I can't wait. I feel like we'll be able to talk a little bit more about this once War of Realms Omega drops. Because they said they couldn't, even in like any arc we read, they like, Jason Aaron's like, we can't spoil this. Because literally why I'm doing this as my last Thor story is because something that happens in War of Realms.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're not going to find out until Omega comes out.
What's really cool, though, is the only thing we do know is that Thor gets to keep the Destroyer arm. Because that's on the cover of the page, which is really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I can't wait. I can't. It's going to be so good.
And then Ultron Agenda is probably going to lead into Arno's 2020 arc.
2020. Me and you have been talking about this, Hunter, since like the questionable announcement.
Because Marvel announced their event schedule for the next year. And in December 2019, there's a mystery event. Now, it could be the Spider-Man thing they're talking about. But I think it's going to be the prelude to 2020. Because it makes sense. It's December 2019. Then they could just do a prequel issue or like a one-shot event issue where it's like 80 pages or something. And then starting January, do Iron Man 2020 the whole year. All 12 issues will be, and then annuals or whatever, will be an Arno story or the Arno event.
Yeah, and that'd be awesome. Because
a year-long event would be crazy.
That'd be awesome.
But it's only contained in like those one books and like one-shot spinoffs.
Right.
Or like, like a Pepper Potts book.
Yeah,
or like
that'd be fine. I'd be okay with
or
that.
Or even an Arno 6 issue would be cool.
Yeah, just something. So I guess we're going to jump from that because we don't really know a lot about the King Thor book
Yeah, because they want to keep it under wraps till after.
Yeah, and same thing, like, Ultron is on there. We don't really know a lot of, but we figured we'd let you guys know. And if you are, again, interested in, and if you're interested in keeping up with this type of stuff, definitely go and buy the events they're spinning out of. Buy the books they're spinning out of. I know you're excited about this, Hunter. So go ahead,
Let's
Hunter.
Talk about the main man. Yeah! All right, Lobo's getting the show. Let's talk about it. So Krypton,
he's so hyped. You don't understand the car ride and the announcement I've got. I was like, yo.
He practiced saying it, didn't he? At least 80 times.
So Krypton season 2, months ago, they were teasing that Emmett J. Scanlon was going to play Lobo.
Yes.
In a couple episodes here and there. Not be the main villain, because the main villain's going to be Doomsday, or the guy who made Doomsday, or...
Brainiac! And Zod!
Yeah, Brainiac and Zod.
Doomsday! I haven't watched season 2 yet, because it just premiered.
I know, last week.
Lobo is now getting a spin-off show, which spins directly out of the end of his arc or the end of the season. We don't know yet. There's no release date.
Nothing. This is zero
information. But they announced it, and I'm so excited.
Don't get too excited, because remember, this is the same network. Yes, that canceled Deadly Class and Happy.
Yeah, we talked about that last week when you weren't here. Yeah, we were upset.
We were upset. All right,
but they're not shopping, so much, they're shopping around.
Yeah.
So, just saying.
I think that's the big thing about the Lobo being announced. It got announced before anyone could see him acting as Lobo or anything like that. I saw the premiere.
Test audience saw it.
Yeah.
Test audience were probably...
But I mean, nothing. Test audience mean nothing.
I know.
They're like...
Inhumans.
Yeah, exactly. I watched the first episode of this season.
I'm waiting for the whole season to binge.
He's alright.
That's what I do.
He's alright. He's not bad. I like his character.
The images that they released, he didn't look too good. From what you told me, he looks amazing.
He looks good in the show. I think stills don't ever do anyone justice, especially for character profiles. Yeah. It is kind of a big takeaway from growing up in the anime series and reading the book, the character in the book.
The comics and the shows make it very top
he's
heavy.
He's very bulky.
He's still built, but he's not as top heavy.
Right,
usual.
Because he's a human being. He's not CGI. Yeah, exactly. He's not CGI, which is cool. I do like that they didn't add that, you know, alien prosthetic stuff to make him look a lot bigger.
Yeah.
But the hair throws him off because he has it up in a ponytail type of thing, which makes him look stocky. And I think that's what they're going for, but it looks weird when he acts and moves. Mm. So, but he's not a bad actor.
I'm glad that Lobo is finally getting his own thing, because like they announced years ago they wanted to do a movie. They're still talking about it.
It's just so hard to do with that character, though. Let's be honest.
The movie would be fantastic, and like the idea would be great, but the audience isn't there.
Right, and that's the thing.
Lobo has his own audience, but he's more of a niche character.
And that's what it is. Yeah. And that goes for any character across the board.
Yeah, that's why Blue and Gold hasn't been announced yet, because it's a niche.
Again,
yes, those characters are popular, but it's a niche.
But how popular? Yeah, they're popular. Exactly. They have cult followings, and that's what they are. Because...
And again, that's what we thought about Shazam. And that movie was fantastic.
The thing is, that movie, the reason why that movie did so well, because you can take your kids to see that movie, and it doesn't matter.
You can take your kids to see Blue and Gold, you can't take them to see Lobo, though.
Right. And Lobo's even Blue and Gold, a lot of that stuff, if you don't take, you have to take the JLA run of the two of them to do that movie to make it kid-friendly. Because otherwise, they're just two dudes.
Yeah.
If you read any other version of that character, like them in like Mark Waid's run on JLA, if you read them in Heroes in Crisis, if you read them in like the 52
they
pickup
did
stuff,
Justice League like 3001 or whatever, right. They were like 4 or 5.
I guess, but that's the same writers that did the it's JLA.
Giffen.
Giffen, the same guys who, it's Giffen
who made Lobo.
Yes. But that's what it is. That whole thing only works when they're written by them. Because when you put them two, they're just two dudes. They're friends and stuff. But that's not enough to carry a 2-hour movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I feel like they could still get around to it.
Yeah, but you would have to do so much build up to be like, yo, this is Booster Gold's history. Yo, this is Ted Kord's history.
I think they could do it by having Booster Gold origin his like the beginning, like we're in the future. We see the janitor, he takes the stuff, he goes back in time, then we cut to Blue Beetle doing his stuff. And then it just launches them, like, you know, 20 years later, and then it's like, boom, they're heroes or whatever.
But the whole thing will...
Because if it's in the DCEU, they can mention, like, Batman and Superman.
But even Ted Kord's... Well, the whole thing, and I'm going to probably do this for a deep dive episode, because I was thinking about it this morning.
Definitely
deep dive
these guys.
Not even just two of them. The fact is that Booster Gold, Blue Beetle himself, that whole thing with the Scarab was a thing. It goes from Dan Garrett, who then, like, Ted was his, like, apprentice, who then becomes Blue Beetle, and then he realizes, oh... Maybe, because Ted's the weird one of the three. Because he didn't get any powers from the Blue Beetle
itself.
He's just
the tech guy.
But Dan got super speed and strength. And then Jaime gets the full extent of the entire outfit too. So that's a thing. You would have to explore that. If you don't, you're kind of doing a misjustice to not only Ted Kord's character, but to the history of what Blue Beetle means.
Exactly.
So I would say not do that. I would do that as a TV show. Do a TV show.
I could see a Blue Beetle show going.
Even a miniseries, something like that. Even just do a comic. A miniseries comic.
Do a cartoon.
Oh, Jesus. That would be funny, actually.
Something cool that came out the other day before segueing into the topic. Joker's going to be rated R. That's pretty cool. I'm glad it's not PG-13.
I'm excited about it. Yes.
So we get to see some actual, like, brutal stuff in the... Shut up, James!
I didn't say anything. I know. I'm not...
you motioned.
I know. I'm not...
I understand why you're not happy about it.
I can... Because if that rumor is so... If one iota of that leak is true about...
What the leaked rumor is?
About what the movie's going to be about?
No, I thought it was his origin story.
Yeah.
But they made his origin.
So they're changing it.
Yeah.
They're changing it.
Yeah, it's
not,
massively.
It's not Killing Joke and it's not Jack Napier.
It's all brand new stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that I did not hear.
Yeah. The one big rumor that I heard, and normally, and we've had to talk about, I don't like to talk about rumors on the show. Yeah, and you know, I don't like to talk about rumors on the show, but this is just something that kind of will bother me if this turns out to be true, is that his origin comes from the fact that he's this bastard child of Thomas Wayne and some random, like, prostitute that he sleeps with.
Because it makes sense. His mother is a prostitute, and that's what, and then she's got, and she's old now, and why would they cast Thomas Wayne if not to make him in this role? Unless they're friends, in quotes.
If they're going to do Thomas Wayne, say, right?
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do? You're going to introduce Bruce?
No, because he's just going to be older. Bruce would be younger, and he's probably, and with Bruce getting, them being killed.
This Joker's probably going to be an older version of it.
Yeah.
We'll see Thomas bang a chick, and then later we'll see.
I think that's so stupid, though.
Do you think they're still going to have it where he fell in the acid?
No.
No, it just looks crazy.
No, he's just a crazy dude. It's so dumb.
Like he does stand-up, then he joins the circus, then he fails, and he becomes a killer.
Yeah,
that's what it looks like, but it's hard to tell.
I think as comic fans, as we know the truth, and I use that loosely,
Three Jokers is not, exactly.
About, you know, what really happens to the Joker as we've known for the last 60-some-odd years.
Exactly.
If they want to do the spin or whatever, yeah, gotta remember it's a moneymaker for them.
Yeah.
It's for people that don't read the books, that don't even pay attention, that go, oh, hey, I like Batman, and I think the Joker's great and whatnot.
It honestly looks like a good film, too.
It does. You know, the preview does look really good, I'm not gonna lie.
I like the cinematography on it so far.
Yeah. So, you know, let them... Let's just see what happens. It come out, I think, October 5th.
I think it's the 5th. Yeah. Cool.
So,
sorry, James, I just wanted to talk about that.
No, it's fine.
I saw it this morning. I was like, oh, cool.
I wasn't, like I said, I'm not crazy about this Joker movie. I'll actually be away with that.
I think you'll be surprised that it'll be, if it does really well, I think
I still probably won't see it.
No, but you'll see it eventually, but.
Probably not.
I mean, like DC app or anything?
No, man, I skipped Aquaman.
We'll tie him up. And we'll just bring him to the movies, and we'll eat popcorn in front of him.
It's right across the street. We'll just drive.
Yeah, like we don't have to. We'll just torture him.
I know, clearly.
Well, we didn't see Aquaman.
No, actually, that was my fault. I was trying to figure out movies to watch, and like three movies came out that December that month. So I picked one. I wasn't like, look, man.
I saw Bumblebee and Aquaman. Bumblebee was the better one.
I was like, look, $14 a movie ticket. I'm picking one movie to go see.
$5.
Nah, I'm going to aisle 16 to get reclining chairs. I'm, again, a little bit bougie.
Regal's pretty good, but Regal's fine.
No, not for me, actually.
Sorry for the tangent, guys.
Yeah. Again, we're drowning.
Topic of the day!
Yes.
Oh, you guys want to talk about dads?
So, happy belated Father's Day out there. There's no way to do this episode any sooner. So, happy Father's Day.
We should have played the theme song, The Father Knows Best.
That's copyright stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't have that. We don't got copyright money to show.
Yeah, I can pretend like I know what it is.
Is that close? No, not even. But you can make that the millennial version. We'll go with that.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You people are old.
I know.
Shut up. I'm going to smack you with the Superman book.
All right.
It's that big.
It is. That's a whole thing. Anyway, yes. So today is Father's Day weekend, kind of.
Father's Day.
We're past it. Anyway, it's Father's Day. And in honor of all the dads and all our characters, we decided to do the best and worst fathers of comics of all time. Our top picks, of course. We'll talk about what makes them good, what makes them bad, and that's kind of what this is going to be about. So, our favorite dads. Who wants to go first, guys?
Danny.
Well, I was just thinking about Maury when he goes, "You are the father."
You are the father.
You know, like. Well, there's actually somebody on that we didn't put on our list that I'm gonna talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
That's actually Moon Knight. Moon Knight's a dad.
Oh yeah, I forget that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was new.
And his wait, little
is he
girl.
Is he the pick of your best father or worst father?
Oh,
he's pretty badass. He's good in the story.
He's like tries. Mediocre because he tries, but at the same time, he's like, I can't be a father.
Because he's Moon Knight.
Yeah, Moon Knight. He's you know,
he's three dads in one.
He dresses the in an obscene dad. Moon guy, you know. So, I would say he's mediocre. I think he tries, but Moon Knight wasn't around for what's the little girl's name?
I want to call her Marlene or Marcy or that's his.
That's the wife.
The wife.
Or girlfriend. Or baby mama.
Yeah. I'll look it up real quick. You talk.
And he just seems like he wants to protect her. There was a scene in the last run of Moon Knight that you know, he protected her from a bunch of bad guys, and you know, he's just mediocre. But I think if I had to go with my favorite dad, come on. Big shocker.
We already know. Go ahead.
It's Mr. Miracle.
Of course he is.
Of course it is. You know, last year when he became a dad, he was so excited when Barda told him that she was pregnant. And there's the scene where he's singing Rockabye Baby, I think.
One of
those toddler songs. And, you know, he was just really into it and he was just trying. So I give props to the dads of trying and
the dads of the new gods.
Yes, the dads of the new gods, and I think my worst father would have to be Darkseid.
You're just keeping it in house, aren't you?
I'm just gonna keep it in house.
Oh, Moon Knight's daughter's name is Deatrice.
Deatrice.
Little weird, but hey, she's badass.
She is badass.
She stands up to Bushman, which is hilarious. He cut his own face off, or Moon Knight cut his face off.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he's walking around like, I got no face, and Deatrice is like, fuck you. It's like, all right.
It's true.
You badass.
Darkseid, you know, he gives up his biological son, raises...
Who is?
Orion!
No, it's Kalibak.
No, Orion's his biological son.
Kalibak is...
Sorry.
Kalibak's the Allfather, my bad.
No, Kalibak is Darkseid's actual son. And then Highfather and Darkseid make a swap.
There you go.
Orion is Darkseid's son given to Highfather... Scott is a Highfather's son given to Darkseid. That's why Scott is raised in the by great and goodness in the pits.
Yes.
And then Orion, why he's called the War Dog, when he takes off his helmet, he looks like Darkseid as he gets older and angrier because he's Darkseid's actual son. They were given to each other as part of a peace.
I thought that was Kalibak.
Peace agreement. No, Kalibak's his other son, but his actual son.
Oh, I thought it was the one he traded over. My bad.
Nope, the one he traded over was Orion. See, he's a crappy father.
Yeah.
Trading kids.
Yeah, he's bad dad. You can't do that. Like, can you imagine? You got to arrest him now.
I mean, technically, doesn't that make Highfather a bad dad too?
It does. But Highfather respected Orion.
Too.
He gave him a beautiful life.
But he traded his other son to have Orion, which I guess for peace and all that. And we're not politicians, and we're not eternal gods or anything like that. So we honestly don't know. But still.
How do you know I'm not an eternal god? Just saying.
You wouldn't be if you choose to work as an eternal god, you got problems.
It's not a line of work you choose. You just get it, you know?
Yeah, you just get it, you know?
Jeez.
It's like that Flat Earth guy didn't choose
it. Oh, my God.
He didn't choose it. It chose him.
Oh, my God. We're not doing this.
You got me to watch the documentary.
I got
to
watch the documentary.
I heard.
I had to tell Danny. Oh, I love it. It's too funny.
We'll talk about that some other time, some other place.
So that's your best and worst
that's
fathers?
That's my best and my... I mean, I have another one.
Yeah, go ahead.
We'll save that for the end.
Let's go.
I mean, I'm going go to go Rick Grimes. Rick Grimes, you know.
Best father, worst father.
Carl, best father.
Okay. I don't know why. I don't really watch or read Walking Dead. So I don't know. Y'all are
me. 2 weeks
ago.
We did.
Was it with you?
Know, mm-hmm. Yes, it was. I was here for that. I was very upset.
Danny's missed one episode, man. Don't lose her time.
I didn't know which day the Walking Dead was.
And just so you guys know, in 2 weeks, I will be missing another episode.
Yes.
Because I will be away, so...
We will miss you then.
Where are you going anyway?
I'm going to Delaware.
That's what it was. For me and Aunt were talking about it. I'm like, she's going someplace. somewhere.
She's not going to be on the island, so you can't make it work.
I don't know.
Well, my original plan was to go to Westchester to go to Xavier School, but I'm pretty sure the school got blown up in the latest run of X-Men.
You know, it's funny, my friend Doc used to live up in Westchester, so when I go up to see him, we drive around for like hours, and we find houses that look like the movie.
That's it.
And it would be worse, we drop the White Plains, and I get drunk and lay in the back of his car, and then I would just do that the entire ride back from White Plains.
Found one!
That's a doghouse.
Like, sir. Right.
James, give me dad's.
Oh, dad's? Yeah. Oh, it's easy. I got. So I'll do my best dad first. Actually, no. Let me do my worst dad first.
Oh, my
worst
God. Dads. He doesn't know. He's all kind of confused.
Because I want my best dad and my best
dad. You are not the father.
Okay. So I'm going to do my worst dad is Magneto.
He gets better.
Yeah, he does.
Talk about it.
Okay, so he's all right. So
you're a big X-Men guy.
I was. So, huge,
you think you know all this stuff. All
right, so the reason why he's the worst dad is because out of the two I pick, the reason why he's the worst dad is because when we first meet him in X-Men number four, when we meet the Brotherhood, Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are on the team. They don't know that it's his dad. In fact, he lied to them the entire time. Even when he recruited them to the Brotherhood, this is. Total strangers, come join me on my quest for mutantdom. Never telling them, when he knew that there was his kids. Mm-hmm. And the constant years of lying and dumping on Pietro. In fact,
he dumps on him a lot.
Yo.
They just look so similar. When I used to like look at the old books, I was like, how does Magneto not know?
How
does Quicksilver not know that's his dad?
He always had the inkling, but that's because editorial didn't want them to be their kids. They originally in editorial had Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, the kids of Wizard and Miss America from the Raiders back in the day.
Okay, that makes sense because of the power set. But
that's why. So that's the only reason. Because again, Speedster and like she had like weird magic powers. So they were like, oh, it makes sense for Miss America and Wizard to be their kids.
But then they put him on...
Then they just made, yeah, they just made him their father. But not only that, then you have Polaris, who he got... That's still his kid. That's his kid. Yeah, it's half sister to Scarlet Witch and Pietro. By the way, I count that they are still Magneto's kids. I don't care that they're not now in continuity.
Are they not?
No, they haven't been since...
Uncanny X-Men's 5
Uncanny Avengers. No, Uncanny Avengers. That last run, the High Evolutionary one.
They made it so they're not his kids?
Yeah, editorial did that. Editorial did that. Again.
For Marvel, for the movies.
Yep, that's why. Which is stupid, but whatever. I ignore that because like whatever.
They also still talk about it in the books. How they're like, yeah, he's like my dad.
Yeah, because he raised.
Quicksilver talks about it.
Yeah. So then you have Polaris, who he kind of left behind.
But Polaris is now his like main daughter.
Because the only one that will still speak to him.
Yeah, she still hangs out.
Yeah, and then she's on and off with him because she's close to him because they have the same powers.
Yeah.
But she has her own problems, and then you have Zarda. Azal Zadella? She's a Savage Land Moody, who has, again, very similar powers to Polaris and Magneto, so they always kind of assumed that was his daughter.
Oh, and kind of his time in the Savage Lands, he got down.
Yeah, that was another one, and then, like, he's the biggest absentee father. Like,
he's pretty, even in the movies, like Fassbender is...
He's a great, the other thing, in the movies, he's a great dad.
To the Russian daughter.
Yeah,
but he ignores Polaris, who didn't come up ever again, and then Quicksilver.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing, like, he's a good dad when... So he, oh, and he has they would have had an older sister, in Anna, who if she didn't get killed.
I don't even remember.
That's part of the origin story. That's when he was still, with the Romani. That's when he was still with the Romani. It was after Auschwitz and after World War II and everything.
Oh, is that the reference that they gave in Apocalypse, the movie?
Yeah.
Where that was the kid? Oh,
yeah, okay. Anna is the girl, but that's his daughter, and she got killed. So, after that, that's why. But he's, like, the biggest absentee father. But then when he shows up, he's like, you have to do what I say, I'm your dad. I'm like, yeah. I don't know, you stranger. But then my best dad is Pa Kent.
Who?
Pa Kent. Jonathan Kent.
Oh, Pa Kent.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I was like, who the hell is Buckhead? I was like, what?
Pa Kent, man. What is all character? Day.
Pa Kent.
Pa Kent's the man.
John Boyd.
Yeah, Jonathan Kent's the man. It doesn't matter what iteration he is. Doesn't matter whether it's like...
this one's a little...
I like this one.
I think he's a good dad. I just think he...
We'll talk about it later, it's but...
the way Miller writes it.
No, that's fine. That's a twang thing.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. but the... Pa Kent is, no matter the iteration, he's, like, always the hold-you-down type of, like, fucking character.
Even Carson did pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole tornado thing was dumb,
but yeah.
He was pretty good overall.
Yeah, overall, he's always, no matter the iteration, again, like, a little bit, that man's still, a little bit.
A little bit weird.
But, like, Smallville.
Yeah, Smallville's good.
You know, Adderay series. Yo,
even I... Even the Injustice Pa Kent is great.
Yeah. He was just like, yo, I want my son back. He goes, yeah. We're not my son anymore. You kind of messed up. Yeah. You could be redeemed if you just chilled the hell out a little bit. Even though, what gets me when Jeff Johns run on Superman, the Brainiac storyline where Jonathan dies, I was like, man. Because he was like, he died just of a heart attack, and like Superman just couldn't get there in time.
Yeah, which is the worst.
Yeah, I was like,
that's like what...
Oh, it's just, oh.
That stuff sucks.
Like, and he's like... Because he's the best dad.
Everything with Flash. Flash always talks about, like, what if I'm not there for Iris? What if I'm not there? I'm the fastest man alive, but what if I'm not there for somebody? That's why I like Barry a lot.
But, oh, it was so good. That was, like, Pockets the best dad. Because you can hang out and just do some farm work.
And him and his wife beer with him. Pie.
Yo, my favorite scene of all time with the Kents was in, I don't know, was the comic or the anime series? No, it was a comic book. I don't know which one.
Was it the Super Friends crossover with Batman?
No, it was Batman Superman. It was Batman Superman, like, when Ed McGuinness was... the one... I don't know if it's the one with Ed McGuinness doing the artwork, or... It's in the Batman Superman run.
It was around 2006, right?
Yeah, Superman Batman run.
6 to 8, I think.
And they're at the Kent farm, and they're eating dinner, and it's, like, Bruce and Clark, and they're eating dinner over there, and it's, like... The Kents are like, hey, you gotta finish your plate. It's Batman, and he's like, yes, ma'am. I was like, yes! Yes! Yeah. They're the best family. They are the best family.
I think she actually says, you got to finish your plate if you want pie. And he's like, yep. I'm finishing my plate. Yes, I want that pie.
Like, yo, I love the Kents so much. All day.
That's
my,
wholesome.
That's why he's my... Pa Kent's my favorite. So what's your favorite, too? You're all right. What's your best and worst? We already know what your worst is.
Well, my worst is, but that's going to segue into the reviews. My best dad is Marco from Saga.
He's a good
such
dad.
A great dad. I'm not gonna spoil, even though it's been a year, I'm not gonna spoil what happens.
Yeah, because that is
in
a big,
Saga
59,
54, 53. Correct us. He's just so great because the whole book is like the whole star-crossed lovers from different factions, and then they have a baby and start raising the kid in intergalactic journeys. And just the way he handles everything is really good, and he's. I feel like he's better than Fiona.
The mother?
The mother.
Fiona.
Alana.
Yeah.
Fiona Staples is the artist.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Alana. She is not as good as a mother. She gets way better later on.
Yes.
But the first, like, 24 issues, she's kind of wishy-washy, and Marco is there, strong and resilient the entire time. Marco is just so cool. He's got words of wisdom. He's got protection. He's just so cool.
He is. He really is.
I can't wait to see what happens with the Saga afterwards. I hope, because they said they're taking a year off, was it last year?
Yeah.
So they'll probably either be back the end of this year or the beginning of next year.
Yeah.
So excited. I think there's going to be a time skip.
It might be.
Because might be. Hazel's got to grow up.
Yeah.
She's been youngish for too long. Worst dad.
Wait, before we do that, can we have plenty of time? Can we have plenty of time?
Oh, you want to talk about Cable too?
There is a couple. Well,
what
no.
Do you, what do you want
to mean? It was actually a request from Ant to talk about this.
Ooh, Ant.
Yeah, he actually requested.
Ooh, phone a friend. Phone a boss.
Yeah. We were talking about this last week when I told him, like, oh, this topic cover. He goes, how about this guy? I was like, maybe. He's like, worst dad, Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, Ra's al Ghul, yeah.
I mean,
Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have two daughters?
His two kids.
His two kids, right?
He has Nyssa and.
Nyssa's the other one.
His Nyssa. Talia, and they have a son. He has a son also.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I forgot. Always the name. He's the albino guy that's kind of always with him. He was in the last run of two runs ago for Batman. Yeah. Worst dad.
I don't think he's the worst. I think.
Are you kidding me?
I think Deathstroke is worse. That's not my pick, but I think Deathstroke is worse than him. Deathstroke has only got redemption recently. He's terrible with his kids. He's terrible. He basically gets two of them. He gets one of them killed. Grant.
He gets Grant killed.
Jericho. And he makes Jericho mute. Well, and then Rose is just so fucked up. Rose is just beyond fucked up.
Well, that's because of all this crap they went through, so
yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's all the trauma. Anyway, my worst dad...
Wait, pick. We can go through a list of bad and worst dads all day.
I thought it was just our picks.
No, we got time.
Do you want to talk about Batman and the Robins? As good?
I guess so.
Batman is a great
dad. I don't think he's a great dad.
We're fighting about this now. Okay, here's some filler time. Batman's a good dad. He tries his best.
I don't like Damian, though.
Damian...
He's a crap son.
Damian needs to be smacked.
He's a shit son.
Batman's a good dad. Well, what about Alfred?
Alfred's the best dad. Yeah, I was going to segue into that.
No, you always put Alfred first.
Alfred is the best
dad. He always makes sure that Master Bruce has cucumber sandwiches.
And tea.
Oh, man. Alfred is mad.
Like, hey, Batman comes back. He's doing science-y things. And he's like, ooh, science. And Alfred's like, Master Bruce, while you were gone, I made you cucumber sandwiches.
I forget what book that was in recently where he goes off on... Oh, it was the annual. Batman Annual.
Yeah.
Batman Detective Annual number 3. The Black Case Files with the Reaper.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes off to like Monte Cristo or whatever, like France.
Yeah.
And we see Alfred comes with him. He's like, because he has a Batcave in like France.
Yeah.
And he's like, I made sure I stocked your favorite coffee in France.
That's why he's the best dad.
I was going to talk about Batman with Dick Grayson and Jason Todd.
Go ahead.
Jason Todd, that was the worst part. The best part is Dick Grayson. I think Grayson is definitely the best dad Batman has been.
Yeah.
And so the Batman with the Bat Dad is weird. So he's great with Dick Grayson because that's his first kid, and that's Dick Grayson's not like an asshole. He's overall good. He comes from a broken home. He comes from two dead parents, similar to...
Yes.
So I think that's why he relates to Dick a lot more. Then we have Jason Todd, who is his biggest failure.
Yes.
And that's what fucks him up with Damian. Tim Drake honestly gets the short end of the dad stick.
Because he already had a
family, and then they went into
protective custody. Well, only this new version. Before this, his dad was alive anyway. Yeah. His dad was alive until Identity Crisis.
Yeah, they go into hiding for government purposes.
Yeah.
So he does get the short end of the dad stick. He still gets his great moments with Batman.
Yeah.
But he definitely gets the short end of the stick because he can handle himself. He's smart enough to do himself.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson handles himself now.
Yes.
Because he was orphaned at a younger age.
Right.
Jason Todd was a street rat who ended up dying, and now he's,
Yeah, he's got his own mess of problems.
Batman with Damian, he's trying to make up for lost time.
And you
see it because Jason and Damian do share a lot of qualities.
Yes. And you do see it. You see that a lot. And that's why he's trying to make sure he's not.
Mess with each other, too.
It's true. Danny, you got another pick?
Do one more before you segue.
Well,
one more each.
Superman and John.
That's true. Makes sense.
That's a good one. He's a great dad. You know, now that you had that, time gap in the current Superman run where he's like,
he's 17 now.
Yeah, he's 17. When he left, he was like 10. 7, he was 10. 10. He was 10. And, now he's older and, Lois and Clark missed a bunch of time with him, but... And he's upset about it, but he's starting to realize that
they're gonna miss more time with him.
Yeah.
Legion.
Yeah. And John is becoming a man, so they're...
I am a man. He can now lead the Teen Titans. Now, they haven't brought this up yet, but Bendis said he's going to cover it. Damian does not know John is 17 yet.
Yeah.
He probably has his inklings. Because, once John appears to Damian, he'll go, I knew you were older, I just didn't believe it. Or something, or he'll get upset.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be the next arc of the Teen Titans book, once they go through the other or whatever.
But the reason why Superman is such a great dad, we go back to Jonathan Mother and Kent.
How great he
is.
That's why his name is John Kent Jr., basically. Well, not Jr., but
the second.
Yeah, because he is...
Juniors are only right after second.
He's such a great dad that he named him after. He could have named him,
anything.
What's his name?
Who's?
What's his dad's name?
Jor-El.
Jor-El. He could have named him Jor-El.
How do you not know that?
I don't read Superman stuff. I only read action for a little
bit. What a waste.
I like Superman, I just don't like his lineage.
That's weird.
His Krypton lineage. Oh, I love Pa Kent and John and... John and Lois and stuff.
We had this conversation before.
Oh, jeez. Alright, so I'll do my very last pick. I'm doing a worst dad. Actually, I should do a good one.
You did a good one.
I did. Actually, yeah. I'll do Cable and Hope.
That's a good one.
I knew he was going to pick that. That's why
I was going to talk about it. But,
yeah.
I'll do Cable and Hope. I was like, was that or Norman Osborn and Harry?
Yeah.
You were going to talk about my dad, Luke Cage.
You're like, oh, yeah. I didn't go then, yeah. I was going to say something ridiculous, but I won't. But Cable and Hope was why Cable's such a good dad, it's not only that do you get to see him raise her in his series and take care of her. It's always about, not just, it goes from being a mission to keep her safe because, oh, hey, my dad gave me this mission. It became more of, hey, I want to protect her because I love her and care for her.
It's not even like his real daughter, right?
No.
It's his...
no one. It's nobody. It's his adopted daughter. It's his adopted daughter. Yeah. Scott found her and was like, here, you take this baby. I did this to you when you were a kid, and I don't want to do this, but I know she'll be in better hands with you.
I know you got this.
And that's what it was.
I can't wait to see the current Cable, the young one, face Hope whenever they come back from wherever they are.
Yeah, that'd be dope. If he's still around at that time.
I think he will be.
But
at least for that meeting.
That's what it is.
They can't not do that meeting. Yeah. I think they're kind of teasing it for the last issue of X-Force, but
We don't know. But that's the whole thing. I think, like, Cable went from it being, like, a mission to actually caring about her. Even her name Hope comes from... a woman he was dating for a little bit while he was time sliding with her.
Yeah.
And then, like, the two of them helped raise Hope a little bit, and that's how she got the name. And then, like, she refers to him as dad, and everyone's like, no, that's not your dad. And she's like, no,
it's my dad.
And then, like, she talks about she has so much praise for him, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's like, what was Excalibur? What was the 5-issue series where he dies?
Extermination.
Yes.
And she goes around with Jean Grey.
Yes.
That got you right in the heartstrings.
Even
right
though
the
extermination was a little meh, I think the Hope stuff was good.
The Hope stuff was good. Yes.
It's just like so much love that she has for her dad. And like, Cable, yeah, he's not a conventional dad. They were out in the wilderness.
If you read the X-Force books that came out, Cable and the X-Force, into the X-Force 2015 or 16, where Cable has like 100 body doubles and Hope is just kind of like, he's my dad. I gotta stay with him even though he's going crazy.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. Like, again, he's not a conventional dad. They were doing, like, wilderness survival.
Yeah.
And, like, running from Bishop half her life. And, like, when she gets back to the modern era of the Marvel Universe, it's like, you're also the mutant messiah. Go fix us. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's like, oh! And her dad was there the entire way, and it was cool.
Is it ever revealed who her real parents are?
No, they actually do in X-Men, right before Secret Wars, that run of the book, they reveal who her parents are. They're flat scans.
Just people.
Yeah, there's people. Because you get to meet her biological grandmother. Because she goes back to Anchorage. And that's how she meets her. Because she's like, I should meet you. And then they're like, oh, do you want to stay with us? And she's like, nah, pass chief.
She's like, deuces.
Yeah, she's like, I got a whole family back down in Westchester that need me. Type of thing. But yeah, I think Cable is like a great dad just because of the body. Like, all the moments you have, you get to see with them. Because it's the difference with him and Hope with some of the other characters that you don't get to see them raise their children. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's like, they're born, and then it's a superior origin, and it's like, they're already older, so you don't get that whole backstory. Yeah. And then when you do get the backstory, it's part of a backstory. It's not like the focus of anything. Like,
yeah.
Going back to the dark side, Orion,
Mumbo Jumbo,
Mr. Miracle stuff, like, you know, because that's a part of it, but then it's like, skips ahead. And now Scott is Mr. Miracle, and Orion is a war dog for New Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to see them being raised. You get to hear bits and pieces, but that's the thing.
You kind of see a little bit of the raising process in the shows.
Yes.
And
in films.
Femme Furies.
Female Furies.
Yeah, that's with Barda.
Yeah.
And we do see a little bit with Scott, and in the Mr. Miracle book, we do see a tiny bit
of
flashbacks. Yeah. Hopefully in Mr. Miracle 2, he delves a little bit deeper into the psychosis of it, because this is a lot into psychosis, but like, I want to see more of the trauma from the old days.
Yeah.
Like, even open up each issue with like 2 pages of baby Scott, and then it parallels him raising baby Jake.
Right.
Cool.
And that's what it is. Like,
he doesn't want to repeat the same mistakes Granny Goodness did, even though he's not going to because of the situation.
Yes.
I think he's going to fuck himself up with his head and
say,
Darkseid and Granny Goodness made me do this. I don't want my son to do this.
Right. And that's the whole thing. The whole thing we miss about it. So you want to go jump into your segue?
Let's jump into the... Well, I'm not going to dig the segue up from the dirt. My worst dad is Lobo, and here's why. So the recent arc... Rebirth of Teen Titans has this new character called Crush, who is half Caesarian, and she's Lobo's daughter. This ties into the finally, after 11 issues of them really just glossing over it, they get into it with issue 31. This is going to go into my book review now. That's the segue.
I guess we're going to jump right into the book review.
We have to.
I guess.
It works too well, because if I talk about how he's a bad dad, it's going to spoil the book.
Go ahead.
So
we're doing our book review. Woo!
So
Hunter, what's the book review this week?
I'm doing Teen Titans 31.
Yay!
Woo! So the writer's Adam Glass, and the artist is Bernard Chang. They made Crush, Roundhouse, and Dijin 11 issues ago.
Yep.
And they really just said, oh man, Lobo is Crush's dad, but there's no real explanation. We finally get Crush's backstory in issue 25.
Which is meh.
Oh, it's not even issue... Yeah, it's been more than 11 issues. Yeah. It's been a hell of a lot more.
It's been 25 issues. They were...
Oh, they actually rebooted it? I forgot.
No, remember they were in T9 Special.
Oh, yeah.
Before issue 1. And then issue 1 was their actual
intro. So it's been... So issue 25 was her real origin, where it's like her adopted parents, and she has the chain.
Which is just a Superman. It's just
it's basically Superman, but with a cesarean, which is cool. But I didn't like how they handled it in this issue, because...
Why?
Lobo shows up and just beats the shit out of her.
Yes.
Because it's actually stated in the book that Lobo's had many kids and he's killed all of them.
Yes.
Because he wants to be the last cesarean for whatever reason.
Yes.
He is. So he goes, my favorite moment in the book is when he first meets her, because he gets told about it from the other. The other actually calls him and goes, hey, I'm going to triple my price if you go kill this Teen Titan. It's one of yours. So he goes, probably not. We'll see. He picks her up. He goes, daddy's home. He goes, wait a second. Hold on. Nope, you're mine. He sniffs her and goes, you're mine. And then kicks the shit out of her. Throws her into a train. Does all this stuff. He is so bad. He's the worst dad ever because he's killing his children. Like, Kraven, we can mention that. He was kind of a good dad raising his clones of himself.
I guess.
Yeah. But this is totally different because it's like, how Kraven has genetic clones of, like, 50 of his kids or whatever.
They're all dead, though.
Yeah, but that wasn't Kraven's fault. This is Lobo's fault. He kills all of his kids.
Yes.
It's so messed up, like, just everything that's going on. And Crush just has to deal with everything.
Yeah.
And it's only a two-issue story arc.
Yeah.
Which I think it should be a little bit more, but, you know, this is a pretty thick book.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Like, yeah. All right, so favorite moment in the book.
Favorite moment was him deciding, he's like... This is my daughter. Yep, I sniffed her. This is mine. This one's mine. It's kind of like a dog
thing. Like a dog
thing. Like a wolf thing. Like, they smell their babies to see if they're theirs, and then they take care of them. If they don't, they like let them die or something.
Yes.
Some animal does that. So it was cool that Lobo
We're not biologists, clearly.
Yeah, Lobo's like, this one's mine. Boom. Little just throws her. And then Robin and Roundhouse are like, what? Roundhouse tries to hit Lobo with a chair.
Yeah.
And Lobo goes, nah. Backhand. It's just so funny.
All right,
even though he's such a terrible person, he's still a funny character. Jeez. And I can't wait to see how this changes, because they're not going to kill Crush and they're not going to kill Lobo. So what's the end result going to be? Are they going to meet off at like...
They said...
Is Crush going to...
They have said the mother is someone very important.
Superman. Like Naomi. Naomi's so important to Superman's lore. Yeah, okay. We'll see. It's going to be like Mary Sue or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
So, Crush, and I think if Crush fights back and kicks the shit out of Lobo, Lobo's going to have a mutual appreciation for Crush. Like, you kicked my ass. You get to live. Yeah. If you need me, I'll help, but I hate you. And she's like, I hate you too or whatever. And then it's like a happy moment. I think that's where it's going to go. Because even though Lobo's a bad guy, he's really not at heart too bad. If you read Justice League of America, he gets a good redemption.
He does have redemption, last rebirth story.
So he does, he's not a terrible character.
It's true.
But he's a bad dad, so far. We shall see. I'll update you guys next time, even if it's not my book review. I'll still talk to you guys about it, because 4 out of 5, for sure.
4 out of 5?
It's because I've been waiting for this for the last, like, year or so.
Since they talked about her?
Yeah. So I've been waiting, because I love Crush. I just love Lobo, so having a female version of her who's on the Teen Titans is just badass. It's just super cool. So 4 out of 5 for sure.
Nice. All right, we're jumping from that to Danny.
Ooh.
What are you reading?
What are you reading this week?
Ooh, well, I breezed through the War of the Realms, War Scrolls, issue number 3. And
a lot of writers and artists, so go ahead. Run it down.
So there's 3 different stories. You got Daredevil and the God Without Fear, Doctor Doom and a Rose for Victor, and She-Hulk in the Face of a Warrior.
Who have written these?
So, the first one is written by Jason Aaron and drawn by Andrea Sorrentino.
That's my favorite.
Second story is written by Christopher Cantwell and drawn by Cian Tormey. And the She-Hulk one is written by Charlie Jean Anders and drawn by Simon D'Armini.
Wait, I bet you go learn names.
Woo!
We're getting pretty good.
It was the War of the Scrolls.
What's your favorite story?
Of the 3, what's your favorite story?
The 3 of my favorite story, it's going to have to be the Doctor Doom one.
Okay.
just because I like the fact that
you get four stars on this one.
Oh God!
You have to get four different ratings on this issue.
Three.
I was just gonna universally.
Oh, okay. Prove me wrong.
My favorite story for the War Scrolls is Daredevil.
It has been. All right. So why is the Doctor Doom one your favorite?
I don't know. It just for me, it's they're like singing songs, like about a what was the name? I keep saying Leviathan, and it's
Galactus.
Latveria.
Oh, Latveria.
Latveria.
Like I keep saying Leviathan. Stop reading DC books, Dan.
I get confused. Galactus is in it, and it kind of ties to the Fantastic Four towards the end, where they thought they had defeated Galactus, but he's really not.
He's fine. Dead. No, they brought him out the chilling. Whole thing.
He's
yeah,
just chilling. He needs a snack.
Did need
snack. Yeah, my favorite part in it is when the little girl. Oh, Victor gives the little girl a rose.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole point of it, yeah.
That's the whole point.
It shows his humanity.
Because it's called a Rose for Victor. Victor.
Rose Victor, yeah.
So, yeah.
It shows his humanity, which, because, like, he was getting better in Infamous Iron Man and Marvel 2-in-1, but then when they, quote-unquote, retconned everything for Fantastic Four's return, they kind of put him in a villain spot again, and this kind of shows him still, he has a heart.
Yes.
So that's really cool to see that they didn't retcon everything just because the Fantastic Four are back.
Hey. You like it.
I like Fantastic Four, but I like Doctor Doom a lot when he was trying to be good. Yeah. I love those kind of stories. That's why I like Superior Spider-Man a lot now. I liked it before, but I like it a lot now because he's still redeeming himself.
All right, so Danny, out of that that one story, what would you give that one story?
I would definitely give that a 4. I really enjoyed it.
All right, so then outside that, what's your favorite moment in the entire
all three stories.
What's your favorite?
Has
moment?
To be Thor and the She-Hulk making out.
They've been making out since Avengers.
I know, but I just been. Love it.
I didn't even know that was in the book.
I love it. I think they make a cute couple.
They do.
You know, so I hope a lot for Jennifer and Thor. I think it's going to be good. That and the Punisher just looks a little sweet and innocent in the artwork in this. I would have to say the artwork in this, it's good.
All three stories are different,
and they're all, yes, they're different, and it's just, I think it comes together very nicely.
I like it when they do 3-in-1 stories.
That is cool.
Yeah.
All right, so overall, for the entire book, what would you give a rating?
I would go to 4.
A 4.
This is the final issue, right?
This is the final issue of it.
And I didn't finish the Daredevil story.
That's where it ends. It ends in
3. But does it end? Does it cap it off, or is it going to end in 6?
Everything ends.
No, it's going to end in 6.
Okay, which is next week, but we're not going to talk about it until Omega. I know. Because we got to give you guys breathing room to actually read the whole story. Because I know some people are waiting until it's in trade, or some people are waiting until it's all done, and...
So you're giving a 4 out of 5.
I am giving it a 4 out of 5.
Sweet.
James, what did you read?
All right, so I did Go-Go Power Rangers Forever Rangers #1, written by Ryan Parrott, and the art is done by Eleanor Carlinen. And Francisco Moritano. It's because they do two different artists on this issue.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. The biggest part about this issue, which is great, one, because I love Dan Moore's art on the cover, and it's like a, what's it called? Spread cover? Double side cover, sorry. Double side cover.
Yeah.
The best part of this book is the finale of Go-Go Power Rangers, starting from issue one shot. Yeah. But it is the finale of the story arc from issue 1 till now. So everything from the beginning through Shattered Grid till post Shattered Grid till now, it's over.
My question before you get further into it is, now, do you think that Go-Go Power Rangers, since it's capped off here, will it jump timelines?
So what they're doing is they're continuing it on. It's continuing
on. So after this issue, they're just like, it's still Jason and friends.
Yes, but the next storyline is going to be Necessary Evil.
Oh,
it's going to tie into the Mighty Morphin. That's the new one in Mighty Morphin this series.
Okay, making sure. Because I didn't know if they were going to like jump to like Ninja Storm or
something. No, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be that jump. Big of a jump. Yeah, no. Go-Go is going to be Necessary Evil. But it was a cool way to top it off, the current story, and do a nice little bow on everything. We get to see the creation of the Dragon Coin. We get to see what happened with Alpha 1, because that's the storyline we're currently in.
Yeah.
We get to see the setup for We have an introduction of a character that we haven't seen in yet. Oh, we really kind of did real quick, but then he died. So if you know what we're talking about, you'll see why. So we get to see all that, and it's all a prelude to Necessary Evil. Without it, like, you can read this, and if you want to drop off a Go-Go, it's a fine way to drop it off.
Yeah, because
you
know, caps it off.
Right, because you can go, all right, I can watch the TV show now and go on from there. But with this, you can go, all right, I read up to this part forever, and then the next issue is just going to be the start of Necessary Evil, which okay. is cool. All right, so my favorite moment, I have two favorite moments. Anytime the Zord showed up, I was like, yeah, bring them together.
The art looks good.
The art's so good.
Yeah, the art's definitely
good. The art's so good. And my second favorite moment, it kind of is like the creation of the Dragon Coin, and you kind of see why Rita has such a big attachment to the coin, and it's not just like a power thing.
It was given to her by her dad.
No. I wish that was the case. Then we could tie it into the big topic for Father's Day.
That would have been funny.
But it's not.
I wish my dad gave me a coin.
A power coin? Or any coins. But that's the thing. The creation of Dragon Coin was something that we never got to see on screen, and we never got to see the American version. So seeing it this way, it's kind of cool. So out of five, I'll give it a five.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
Right? I'll give it a five. As a Power Rangers fan, if you love Power Rangers, go out and get this issue. Even if you haven't been reading it, it's a cool wrap-up to the Alpha One story, and it just gives you what you want from a Power Ranger book. It's chock full of nostalgia. The art's so killer.
I love
the
nostalgia.
The story's fantastic. It's a great series. And because Ryan Perriott is not only doing... This is not his last Go-Go issue, but after this, he'll be writing Mighty Morphin and Go-Go.
Ooh.
Afterwards, he's doing both books.
That's dope.
So that's going to be cool. So you'll see a tighter continuity between the two now. Because yeah, it's like one writer.
Kind of stuff.
But yeah, so I'm giving it a 5 out of 5.
That's one of the first 5s we've had in a bit, I think.
Yeah, I think War of the Realms.
Yeah. That's because, hell yeah, yeah. War of the Realms.
All day.
Yeah, I can't wait to
All
finish.
Day.
I can't wait to cap that up.
I can't wait.
Well,
all now, right, so we're going to go
from book. Power to Super.
Woo!
That's amazing. You guys can see, but I am holding up the Superman Year One.
Written by Frank Miller.
Cough, and drawn size.
We'll get to that. So, written by Frank Miller and drawn by John Romita Jr., this is Woo. The new Black Label series that's not a Batman book!
The Woo! One, not Batman book.
Yes. So, alright guys. We all got to read it, and we all got to see it. So what? All right, let's start with the negatives about the book. And I already know, Hunter, you already started saying it. Go right ahead.
Magazine size.
Magazine size. Why magazine size?
Like, you know...
They gave us a bone when they were like, Last Night on Earth, not magazine size. And we were all hoping that Superman wasn't going to be one.
Yeah.
Coming to the store today? Oh. Yes.
Took it out of the box. Helped James take it out of the box on a rainy 3 o'clock afternoon.
I was like,
seriously right now? How am I supposed to put this in a bag and board?
It's just not necessary.
It's not necessary. Make it like how you make The Last Night on Earth.
Just make it thicker. It's about... We're going to try to measure this while we're here. Oh, wow.
It's like 2 inches by an inch.
It's like 1.5 books,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just make it thicker. Just make it thicker.
The only upside to the magazine size for this book is Romita's art.
Yes.
Usually it's condensed and the faces are kind of not there in the sketching and the cross hatches and whatever. It's a little rough.
Yes. I was just about to say
But with this, it really makes it shine, which I like. Because I like Romita's artwork 90% of the time.
Right.
A couple times where I'm like, ew, why is it
looking
like that?
And I'm the same way. We've talked about this before. I really think...
So I do think this is a good thing for Romita, but not a good thing for collectors.
Collectors...
Because it's hard to put in a thing.
It's really
hard. You have
hard.
To get a magazine box and a magazine bag and board, and you gotta...
Yep.
It's not like back in the day when it was more plentiful, when they were making a lot more comics in
magazines. Conan,
Savage, Red Sonja, Vampirella.
Yeah.
They were all magazine-sized books. Mm-hmm. So it's fine back then. We're way past that.
Yeah.
We don't need
magazine. They still think it's nostalgic to put it out.
But it's not. No. It's not.
No.
It's not.
I don't even think it's cheaper to print.
It's not.
I just think this is cool. No.
It's not. It's
I guarantee you less people buy this book because it's magazine sized.
Yeah. All right. So besides that, if that's our only negative, we can move on to
50-50.
Okay, so
I have one other small negative.
Dan, do you have any other negatives?
No, that was it.
All right, Hunter, go ahead with your other negative.
Do you have a negative?
No, not yet. I do, but go ahead.
Okay, my one small negative. Can I spoil it or no?
Yeah, it's fine. With all store books, we can spoil.
Okay.
Spoiler for anyone that's going to listen to.
Okay.
Go now.
Okay, cool. The end of the book, yes, it's called Superman Year One. which we've had a bunch of year one stories.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see, like, him growing up.
Yeah.
This isn't my gripe. I wish they did have him just, like, four pages. He grew up, and then he's Superman for the whole year one.
Yeah.
But my gripe is the end when he joins the Navy.
Yeah.
Or the Marine Corps or something.
Navy SEALs. No, do not say Marine Corps. I got yelled at by Anthony today about that.
The Navy SEALs.
Oh, no, sorry, Ant.
Navy SEALs have nothing. No, the Marine Corps is recon.
I just knew it was Army.
It's Navy!
It's still military.
They're not the same. There's three branches of the military.
I know, but I was confused because I don't know everything about the military stuff. I just know it's, he joins a military operation.
I got yelled at by Ant because I was like, oh, he's joining the SEALs. Isn't that like, oh, he joins the Marine Corps? Yeah, it's before the SEALs. And Ant was like, that's the Navy. How dare you defy the Marine Corps? I was like, oh, man, I'm so messed.
As the one here who has the police background and didn't get into the Army, I'll tell you for a fact, or the Marines, because I was too old. Facts.
You got facts.
Yeah, that's... You guys bad.
You guys are bad. You guys
bad.
I still love getting yelled at by Anna. I was just like, oh, no.
No.
But I don't like how he joins, because that's not Superman to me. To me, Superman is...
Do you have any idea what it takes to be a Navy SEAL?
Superman could do it. That's not what I'm
saying. I know, but...
Like, he's like, Kansas-born right. and raised farm boy, Boy Scout.
I'm okay with that, though.
That's what a lot of those guys are.
That's what it is.
I want to see what happens, though.
See, that's... All right, so that's I'll take your negative...
I don't like it for now, but if they make it work in the next two issues, I'll love it.
That's what I'll take your negative. I'll take your negative and explain why I love it so much. Because it makes sense in the context of the story they're giving you. Because it really is about Superman going, it's not just the, because you know what, it's funny, it takes the whole, oh, I want to do something more with my life, I want to do something more with my powers, and that's always kind of the speech that Superman gets growing up, do something more with your powers, you're giving me these gifts for a reason, blah, 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 do something with them, and then he goes, I want to grow up, and I'll be a reporter, and then go to move to Metropolis, and I'm going to then also be Superman. It kind of makes sense going, hey, I have all these powers, I have these gifts, these abilities. I can just join the military.
Yeah.
And I can become better trained in aspects of my life where I'm not getting. And that's what I think is good about that. But my gripe with the book is I'm tired of seeing him being raised. Stop with the year ones needs to start not being growing up stories. It needs to go, year one needs to be...
You can grow up in the first five pages.
Yeah, and then the rest is the actual... If you want... Because I get why they did this in this book. You had to show why he's joining the Navy.
Yeah.
I want to say Marines, but I'm going to get yelled at again. when he joins the Navy SEALs... Well, he's going to join the Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
And why he enlists? Because of his background, because of all the stuff he sees and his friends being bullied and... He wants to take a stand and do something with his life. Now he's adult. He wants to stop world bullying. Again, I don't need the... I didn't need... About a third of this, I didn't need. Like, it was cool seeing when he was a baby and, like, showing, like, the early kid stuff, learning his powers. That's always the cool part.
Yeah.
But then, like, the high school stuff was... I think it went on a little bit too long.
Honestly, what really pissed me off is... Frank Miller does this a lot. He sexualizes the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
There's a scene in this where...
Yeah.
Where Lana's getting bullied and she gets pushed around and like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to touch you. And I was like, Miller, stop. Like, he always does this.
Yeah,
one thing I hate about his writing.
It was completely unnecessary. Like, you didn't know. That was
they could have still like pushed around and like yelled at her. Yeah, they didn't have to like say that we're going to grope her. I get it's black label and it's adult, but she's a kid. Fucking stop.
And I'm just not. Yeah. They even say that they were going to, they are implying that they were going to literally rape her. And I'm like, why? Why do you... This is not necessary.
He does it all the time.
It was just completely unnecessary. I was just like... I'm reading it and I'm like, all right. And they're like, oh, because they are just kids and they are bullies.
They were like 12 maybe? 12, I was 13. Never thinking about that shit.
Yeah. But even...
I thought about boobs when I was a kid, but I didn't think about attacking people.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And that's the thing. I think the bullying aspect should have been that and like, all right, cool. And they just...
Show the bullies throughout the entire thing and they're just regular school bullies.
Pushed it just one... They pushed it over the line with that. I was like, why? Why even imply that these kids would go do that to her?
They didn't have to talk about it.
They didn't have to. All they had to do was push her around. I'm like, oh, I'm taking your thing.
Push her around and smash
the
camera.
Yeah. And I'm fine. Danny, you're...
Sorry.
What's your negative
on
the book?
Sorry for the tangent. It's just...
It had to be that. I think he stood over the line, went over the line with it.
It's just unnecessary. Because it really takes me out of the book.
Yeah, because like, I'll be reading it and I'm like, this is a great Superman story. Oh, there's rape.
Cool. Or imply that they're going to rape her.
I don't know. I feel like something else could have been, but ever since the Batwang in Batman Damned, I feel that now they're just like, well, what can we do? That's
Black gonna Label's be offensive, very
but not. Yes. Yeah. So
you know for a fact in that Joker and Harley Quinn book, there's gonna be some of that unnecessary sexual violence.
I don't know if I want to see the Joker's penis though.
Oh, by the way,
is it white? We don't know.
By the way, I kind of was upset that there was not full frontal nudity in this with Clark.
Yeah, because I realized how young they were making him.
It was like the only nudity would have been acceptable would have been when he was a baby walking out. If he's just a little baby penis, it would have been funny because he's a baby. You know,
it would have been like the cover of Nirvana's Nevermind.
Yeah,
the little baby penis.
It would have been fine. Yeah. But then
not talk about this.
We had this conversation earlier, James.
About Superman. Oh yeah, but I said it. Oh my god. No, we did. We were open. You missed it. So we put a book out, and I was like, "Yeah, no, he's got to be bigger than Batman, right?"
Yeah,
he's got to be right.
I think they mentioned that he's swinging like a horse. That in the other best. You know how there's the bachelor party issue for Batman.
Yeah.
And it was Lois and Catwoman hanging out in the fortress.
Oh, no, it wasn't Bachelor. It was, That was right during Nightmares. That's during Nightmares.
Oh, yeah. They have a conversation, and I believe they talk about their man's dicks.
Yep, they do. So? I remember this because I was reading it before my confirmation classes. I was sitting in my car reading that issue. about to go to church. Let me read something about,
Only nudity that would have been fine would have been if Clark walked out of the spaceship, because he walks around in this as a baby, which is weird. If he walked out with no clothes on, I'm like, it's funny. It's like a quick, you know, it's a baby thing. Babies walk around naked.
Yeah.
But, no, we're definitely going to see either Joker sexually assault Harley Quinn at some point in that issue. I'm going to be so pissed off.
I'm tired of Black Label going, this is where we're going to push it.
Stepan Sedgwick, he's known for doing... He's not known for it, but he does a lot of porny kind of things.
Yeah, and he does. He does more adult stuff.
He does Sunstone.
My fiance reads Sunstone. Yeah,
I think he's gonna. We're definitely gonna see some Harley boobage in Harleen, which is gonna be weird. But
yeah, I mean, it was supposed to be in White Knight, but they cut it out.
Yeah,
because if you follow
Murphy
on Twitter, he has like the original stuff on there, original pages.
But I think
on there.
Sedgwick is definitely gonna do it.
They will try to,
and they're gonna do it in Joker, Harley Quinn, Criminal Sanity, or whatever.
I'm just like, again.
Don't sexualize these. Like, understand, Black Label's adult. Don't.
You have to over.
Don't overly sex.
Like with the bat penis, the one panel that was fine.
This
blew it up for no reason.
Yes, but this I was like, this is why I got annoyed at with the book. I was like.
Besides the magazine
thing.
I'm looking
at the cover of this, and I'm trying to figure it out, and they're just not giving me anything.
You talking about Superman's dick again?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think...
I mean, it's Superman.
Bad Dammy, damn.
It's hard being the only girl in the show.
Yes, it is. Sometimes it is. First thing, those were two gripes of the book. I think the bigger pages in your Mindhunter. The best parts about this book, I love the art. I love that the bigger magazine format allows the only upside to the magazine format. That Remedios stuff is allowed to shine a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah, that's whatever. For paying $8 for a book, I better be able to wipe my ass with that.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, isn't Damned $6.99?
I can tell you right now.
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember.
I think it is.
Batman Damned issue 3 is $6.99.
Yeah.
This is $7.99. So, but it might also be a page or two longer.
That's why.
I think it's like 36 pages. 36. Something like that.
Frank Miller's writing's in it. I think he gets a little poetry. He gets like.
He does a lot of that.
That little flowery poetry stuff.
He gives the Kents a lot of twang, which I mentioned in the book.
You're right. I always
there's a panel with Pa Kent where he's like, "Don't you know?" And like, "Don't dare come out of the sky." I was like, "All right, they're not from Texas, right?"
They're not
Hicks.
They're not Hicks. No, that's what it is. I like accents in a book.
I like the twang, but that's too much twang.
But that it's like, don't make them sound stupid.
Yeah, Pa Kent literally sounds stupid.
At a couple of points, I do agree with you. But I really love the art. The story, I do want to see where they go with the Navy SEAL thing because I want to see that it's not Clark going, I'm getting off a bus in Metropolis. I'm going to be a hero. Mm-hmm. But I'm quietly going to be a superhero. Mm-hmm. This is, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to protect the world from bullies.
See a military
on top
Superman,
of that. Yeah. Yes.
I think that's because of the bullying issue that Lana had, I have a feeling something might be coming as far as them bullying Superman in the military. And then him emerging into Superman.
Right, because we do get to see the brilliant thing
I think this is where it's going to go. It's an adult book.
Yeah.
So you know how in some military missions they have the one, guy who's like, they did it in Damage and they did it in Hulk Furines, the Hulk Furines story, Weapon H.
Yeah.
Where there was the one guy who you follow. Yeah. And then his team, they're tasked with killing a bunch of innocents, and the one guy retaliates and kills the rest of them.
Right.
I think that's going to happen to Superman.
You're right.
They're going to give him an order to kill like a bunch of kids because they're in the terrorist town or whatever. Right. And Superman's going to go, they're innocents. We can't kill these innocent people for no reason. And then one of the guys will go, yeah, but they're a Charlie. And they'll shoot him.
Yeah.
Charlie's the term for bad guy. So, Ant, correct me. Ant will correct me.
I'll ask you that tomorrow.
Yeah. Charlie Tango or something.
You guys are so fired.
So, I think that's what's going to happen to Superman, how he's going to go from being... I think he's going to leave the military because he's going to go, well, they're supposed to be America's heroes.
Right.
And they're still doing bad things like killing innocent people and terrorizing villages that just don't deserve it. I think that's what makes Superman going to be the ultimate good guy.
That's what it is. I think
that's what it is.
I think because we went from like the bullying in the small town going, all right, I guess bullies never grow up and we'll see that. We'll probably see different takes like Lex Luthor or like really because the military, we might even see General Lane and everything like that. And then going into, you're right, hey, I guess bullying is, you know, a bigger picture for me becoming a hero. All right, so guys, what are we giving this book?
I would probably give it a 4 because I don't like the whole implied sexual assault thing.
Right.
If that wasn't in there, 5. Honestly, this book is really good.
It
is.
Yeah.
I don't like the military thing, but then again, it's just because it's a weird Superman thing.
Right.
But if they make it work in the next 2 issues, 100% down. I don't like the sexually... It's just not good. Necessary. That's what makes it a 4. It's just...
All right, Danny, what are you giving
it? I'm going with a 4. Okay. Don't like the whole sex thing, but I'm interested in seeing where the military...
Exactly. I think we're all going to be on the same page.
We're all going to be on the same page.
I'm giving it a 4.
It's a great book.
I'm giving it a 4.
We don't need to have Frank Miller go, sexual assault.
Right, because they don't even do it. It's just like, they were like, we're going to do this to you. Like, why? And I don't think the magazine size, and I don't like that. That's like,
that's just a minor regret. You can't really shit on the book because it's magazine size.
Right, but I think
did we get bags and boards for those?
We do have some.
We have some.
Oh, yeah.
But that's my thing. I really think it is a 4 because it really, that one moment shits the bed for the entire story.
I'm honestly in a bad mood now that we talked about it.
I'm so mad. Because it does take away from the book itself. It's such a shame because
it's literally 3 panels and it ruins the book.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
Like, you could, like, because it goes, all right, cool, we'll do that. And then, like, he beats up the bad guys and then it's like, oh, me and Lana got together now because I saved her from raped.
The bullies don't even care what they were going to do. If you read the next page where Lana and Superman fly off, they go, oh man, he pushed me really hard and my nose is bleeding. I was like, you're not even going to talk that he kicked shit at you because you're going to sexually assault a girl?
Yeah.
You're not even going to mention that? Okay, like, Frank, whatever, that's cool.
Yeah, that really takes me out. Yeah.
Way to be a creepy old man, Frank.
Hey, that's why. So I guess we're ending on that wonderful note. That's such a downer. Hopefully next week will be a little lighter at the end.
Daredevil would be so mad at you as a Catholic.
Oof. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. You guys can head over to our website, androids.com, to check out this week's previews and new releases.
It's on androids.com. It's Androids Comics.
Oh, AndroidsComics.com. Ooh, thank you for fixing that.
No problem.
Follow us on Instagram at Androids_comics and Twitter at AndroidsComics for up-to-date news. If you listen to us on Apple Pods and iTunes, don't forget to rate and review us. And if you're listening on any other app, don't forget to share. Always remember, you can always go to our Facebook page, Androids Comics fan page, where you can list us questions and ask us things, topics and comments on the episodes.
I don't know if you have any questions.
Oh, I check all the time. Okay. I have a direct link to it.
Someone help. Send us questions. Correct us.
Yes, yeah, send us questions.
Ask us what our favorite sandwich is.
Sandwich. Mine's a roast beef.
Spoilers.
And always remember, support your local comic shop and have a nice day.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.